As part of his role at Aston, Dr. Mark Dunn has supervised several PhD research projects, including that of Dr. John Gurney, director of Kent Eye Care, and author of the paper Application of Naive Bayesian Artificial Intelligence to Referral Refinement of Chronic Open-Angle Glaucoma. We met with John to talk about this research.
Could you begin by reminding us of the current approach to glaucoma referral refinement?
Yes, indeed. Currently, there is no formal screening for either chronic open-angle glaucoma or ocular hypertension. There's a lack of high-quality research evidence to support formal screening, and at the moment, it's not considered to be cost-effective. Indeed, the most recent policy review by the UK National Screening Committee reported in 2016 and confirmed that formal screening for glaucoma is still not currently recommended. Because of the absence of formal screening programs, most cases of chronic open-angle glaucoma and ocular hypertension are found opportunistically by community optometrists when their patients attend for routine eye examinations. Following the publication of NICE guidelines CG85 in 2009, referrals to the hospital eye service for suspected COAG and OHT doubled, resulting in approximately 540,000 extra referrals to the hospital eye service per year. As a result, different parts of the country developed locally agreed protocols and usually involved multidisciplinary teams to look after these patients. Some schemes were simply repeat measures, where practitioners repeated IOP measurements with Goldman Applanation Sonometry or carried out repeated visual field tests. Some utilised specialist optometrists for more enhanced case finding, and others, including the West Kent CCG community ophthalmology team, involved more specialist optometrists in true glaucoma referral refinement, where the undertaking of such tests such as gonioscopy are sufficient to diagnose both ocular hypertension and suspect COAG.
So what is the problem with existing approaches?
These schemes certainly do help, and research has shown this, reduce false positive referrals to the hospital eye service. Unfortunately, throughout England, there's not really a coordinated approach, and they're varying degrees, really, of service specifications, very much dependent upon locality. Some areas have no schemes at all, and all referrals go into the hospital eye service, where others are, such as West Kent, utilise more specialist optoms for true referral refinement. And in fact, in our area, we deflect something like 86% of all the false positive referrals for suspect glaucoma and ocular hypertension from the hospital eye service.
Could you define Bayesian analysis and how it can be applied to real-world problems?
Bayes' theorem was named after Thomas Bayes. He was a Presbyterian minister from Tunbridge Wells. Several years after his death, his unpublished manuscript was actually presented at the Royal Society. Bayes' theorem describes a probability of an event based upon prior knowledge of conditions that might be related to the event. Bayesian artificial intelligent algorithms can be used to calculate the probability of an eye condition being present from its prevalence and any new evidence that arises from diagnostic tests. In our case, the conditional probability that the patient has primary open-angle glaucoma. Bayes has been used for centuries to help calculate artillery placements, positions of the stars, working out things like betting odds, and was even used by Professor Alan Turing to help break the Enigma code during the Second World War.
So how has this been investigated in the field of optometry in the past?
Well, in terms of optometry and ophthalmology, it's been used quite extensively. In terms of ophthalmology studies, it's been used for predicting post-operative refraction following cataract surgery. It can be used for things like visual outcomes in diabetics with vitreous hemorrhage, prediction of Snellen visual acuity, lifetime prevalence of uveal melanoma, and also the effects of steroids on aqueous humour outflow. In glaucoma, it's also been extensively used. It's part of the development of the new sitter algorithms, which we'll be familiar with in visual field testing. It also helps us to classify glaucoma from fundus photos, prediction of nighttime intraocular pressure peaks, and linkage of retinal structure and visual function in glaucoma.
Could you talk us through your research?
Indeed, yeah, the research actually was carried out between 2014 and 2015 as part of my ophthalmic doctorate at Aston. The study itself was approved by the Aston Ethics Committee and involved three specialist optoms seeing patients under the West Kent Community Ophthalmology Scheme for the referral requirement of both glaucoma and ocular hypertension. We saw just over 1,000 patients, which were seen at three various sites. During the study, we recorded anonymised data, including the patient's ethnicity, their age, their gender, family history, eye pressures, disc parameters, CCT, and also the diagnosis we come to. As part of the study, I developed a Bayesian decision matrix, which encompasses 40 individual test results and three clinical decisions. This gave us something like 120 decision matrices which were built. What we did was then found we compared the outcome of the Bayesian algorithm to what the clinicians actually done. And this allowed us to calculate our accuracy level of the algorithm compared to the clinicians as a gold standard.
Why was Bayesian analysis decided upon for this study as opposed to other mathematical models?
Well, firstly, it's never been used before for the referral refinement of primary open-angle glaucoma. So it thought it would be quite useful to see if we could actually develop an algorithm that could be used as decision support for clinicians working at the coalface in referral refinement of PERVAC. We wanted to also find out how quickly a Bayesian system may learn, and learning was based upon the generation of likelihood ratios. And then from this learning process, we could then compare how the machine learned compared to us as clinicians.
What sort of confidence limits does your model achieve? And is that expected to rise in the near future?
Well, our system is slightly different because we had 1,000 bits of data, and really we should use the 500 bits of data for testing the system or for building the system, and then testing the system, we should use the other 500 bits of data. But we had some really good data. So what we did, there's something known quite well in the machine learning community, is that we can approximate the accuracy of our data by using it to both build and test the system. And we can sort out accuracy levels by using something called randomized tenfold stratified cross-validation. So basically in this, we're using every bit of data from our patients for both training and testing of the system. And this is believed to give us the best prediction of our accuracy. Then we generated a weighted accuracy for our three outcomes, both discharge, follow-up and refer, which is generated from the proportion of the data represented by all three outcomes, which then gives us a confusion matrix. From this, we can develop our weighted average accuracy of 95.4%, which is pretty good. The shortfall is that we had 34 people who were followed up or referred, were actually discharged by the Bayesian system. And this, had this been allowed to occur, this would have caused avoidable visual loss. And 31 patients were actually referred or followed up instead of being discharged. And this would have caused avoidable burden to the NHS system. We use something called naive Bayes, and this assumes that all tests are independent of one another. However, some colleagues of ours in Manchester actually use principal component analysis, which is a higher order type Bayes, on our data to see if they can improve our accuracy levels. And after 3 months' work, they couldn't improve on our accuracy levels either, which was quite good in the fact that we realised that probably our naive Bayes was very good, is certainly good enough for this type of study, because it gives us good accuracy levels.
Could this work be replicated elsewhere with other measurements, and what size data sets should be required?
Yes, I think it could, and it can certainly be applied to many other medical conditions. I mean, we found we were hitting accuracy levels above 90% after only 20 to 30 patients, and our machine was learning very quickly. And saturation for us was about 70, with accuracy levels above 95% for the three practitioners. So I do think that even with quite small studies, accuracy levels can be very, very high. Obviously, the more data you have to put in the system, the better it's going to be long term. But I still think this does amend itself to quite small studies with good accuracy results.
What are the potential benefits of using machine learning techniques such as Bayesian analysis?
Well, this is certainly a hot topic at the moment. The more information you put into a Bayesian artificial intelligence algorithm, the more it learns, refines its decisions and outcomes and can be used and run forevermore. We've been seeing a lot of evidence in the media of late as to how artificial intelligence systems are becoming increasingly used in research. Virtual doctor programs are starting to appear, and computer programs able to detect disease such as cancer as well, if not better, when compared against the present gold standard, highly experienced and skilled consultants.
John, thank you. And that brings this edition of Advances in Eye Care to a close. As always, we value your input, so please do send us feedback on what you've heard today, as well as any suggestions you have for future content. You can contact us by email at inquiries@docket.info or tweet us at docketinfo. If you'd like to learn more about what we've discussed today, remember you can find references and further reading for all topics by visiting the website. Well, that's all from me, Jeff Watts. Thank you for listening, and we'll be back soon with the next edition of Advances in Eye Care.